Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Lori. She is back to us from traveling out to visit family for First Communions, confirmations, and a chance to get away with her husband, who's also a pastor. Good morning.
Good morning.
And a happy Mother's Day to all, as well as those on radio or podcast. We greet you from Our Savior Lutheran Church, Port Huron, Michigan, this day of May the 12th. As we gather this day, it's the service of the Word at 8:30. At the second service, we have a baptism of a child 2 years old. So that will take place. As well as this, we celebrate during the Easter season a Thanksgiving for baptism. Okay? So, just kind of before proceeding, I wanted to take care of some pastoral concerns of the church. Jennifer Hudson had her surgery this last week. She was hospitalized for a few days, and she has returned home before this Mother's Day. So we pray for her continual healing from her surgery this week. Then on Wednesday, I was notified that one of our former members, Barbara Donovan, some of you may have had her in this community. She was an English teacher, a drama teacher, probably over 40 years in the school district. She has been really planted. She passed away at age 90. She was a good friend of Leah Flinchbaugh, for those of you who might remember the Flinchbaughs and sitting in the back rows some years ago. So we had a memorial service yesterday at Carr Simpson. And about 35 people, family, most of her children are deceased. She outlived her children, 90 years old. So it was a good day, recalling her gifts to the people who made a difference for her and for them. So if you'll please rise, we begin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, anoint us, and make us new. Amen. Let us be honest. Confess our sin, and then receive God's promise of mercy. God at the margins, we have wandered far from your home. Again and again, we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promised to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins for the sake of Christ, leading you from death into life. Amen. Our entrance hymn is Children of a Heavenly Father, page 3. We sing.
Children of God, heavenly Father,
At the second service, this is where we insert the baptism, Sabrina Moon Morrison. We continue for our purposes with a salutation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of praise, Have No Fear, Little Flock. This is the Shepherd's Sunday. With you. If you'll join me in the prayer of the day, please. O God of peace, you brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. By the blood of your eternal covenant, make us complete in everything good, that we may do your will and work among us all that is well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you will please be seated, we have the reading of God's Word. Judy is our lector for our first reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Thank you.
Whether you have children or fur babies, happy Mother's
yes.
Day. So our first reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Dorcas was a faithful and devoted woman of charity in the community of Joppa. Her kindness and her work with clothing was well known, especially to the widows in town. When she fell ill and died, Peter raised her back to life through the power of prayer. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judy. And our second reading by daughter Katie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The second reading for today comes from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Katie. If you're able to stand, we stand for the gospel acclamation. We speak together the affirmation. Alleluia. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Alleluia. Gospel reading for the day from John, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 22. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, at that time, the festival of dedication took place in the city of Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was walking into the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, but you still don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you don't belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they know me. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and nobody can snatch it out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one." A week later, his disciples were again in the house. Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and he stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. This is the gospel of our Lord." Praise to you, O Christ. If you'll please be seated. Each week I give those, since we have special guests for this Mother's Day, a chance to either follow the sermon outline inside back cover or walk with me through the scriptures. I certainly would encourage you to go through the scriptures with me. Each week we go through the three lessons. So you want to walk home or get home, and during the week or on this day, you'll say to yourself, "Let's go back over what God's word means for me this week." First reading, Book of Acts. With the theme underlying, it is the power of the resurrection, because we're still in the season of resurrection. This is the fourth Sunday, so we got three more to follow this one. That'll complete the book of seven that make up the season of Easter, okay? This one, I want you to kind of keep in mind with these three lessons, testify that when the resurrection is understood, believed, and appropriated in your life, my life, everything changes. Everything changes. Not only our view our understanding of God and God's intense love for us, but then how we are to order our lives by what priorities, okay? So from the book of Acts, we've been watching each of these weeks preceding this one with experiences of the early church empowered by the resurrection of Jesus. We've come back to Peter, we've done Paul, we've done all over the field of the early church's growth in the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter is on a missionary journey. He's visiting some friends, taking care of the churches he's planting. He gets a call. He drops what he is doing and he goes to respond. He understands that this one, understood as Tabitha, which is also Dorcas. A lot of churches, they have women's study groups or service groups that are called the Dorcas Circle. Different groups like that, naming the name of this powerful woman of faith. She has done much good in her life. She has blessed people as a vessel of God. But she dies, which is the fate of all people. Peter called to her side. He sees the condition. He knows what Jesus Christ was able to do to bring back life where there is death. And believing that God could use him as an instrument. Luke describes, he gets down on his knees, he prays. He prays not only for the restoration of her life, but for the living survivors, that they may come to see the glory and power of the risen Christ. As he prays, she starts stirring. Her eyes open up. She sees Peter. She sits up. Peter extends his hand to her and helped her up. He called together the saints, which are the faithful people in the city of Joppa, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not all the citizens, just those who know Christ. And he called together the widows who also experienced the power of death with the death of a spouse. And then he presents to those groups that she was alive. Surprising, incredible, unbelievable, but the power of Christ is real. That rumor, that truth, passed around the countryside. Of course it would. Of course they didn't have internet, social media, but they had word of mouth because it was so surprising, so incredible. They saw the power of the risen Lord Jesus in this terrific miracle that Peter was able to perform. It made a difference, not just for Peter, but certainly for Tabitha, Dorcas. It made a difference for that community, and it was a witness to the power of Jesus Christ. You skip over to Revelation. This is the second reading during these Sundays of Easter, and each one is a little background and introduction as John is allowed to see the future, what's going to be coming. Many people are curious, what's out there for humanity, and more specifically for me? What's my destination when I die? So, in the seventh chapter now of today's reading, John says, I looked around. He had said last week too, there was just a great multitude, myriad of myriads, thousands of thousands gathered before the throne of God, continues here, from every nation, from all the tribes, all the peoples, and they had various languages. They stood before the throne, before the Lord. He was robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who's seated on the throne, to the Lamb, which is the reference point, certainly, as Jesus in the Gospel will say, and this the Good Shepherd Sunday. And they cried out, salvation belongs to him. All the angels were blessing God, praising him. John's able to see this vision, and he gives witness that this Jesus not only was raised from the dead, but now has all the power. And every knee will bend, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Even those who have gone through great persecution, and probably in their mind as they suffered for Christ, they might have said, well, where's God when I need him? Why isn't God coming to my aid? But even for them, God's love was shown and that their robes, which were washed in the blood of the Lamb, were dazzling white. Christ is able to transform our lives, dirty with sin, into glorious things that God always intended us to be, righteous before the Lord. It wasn't anything they did or we do. It is alone what the Lamb does in preparing us to meet our God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was certainly a shock, as the New Testament confirms that the disciples struggled with that truth. Then all those that gave witness to it, even to in the book of Acts, the Greeks, when Paul goes up to Athens and he explains to the Greeks that Jesus Christ was raised to the dead, they just wouldn't hear it. They said, get out of town. We don't believe in that stuff. There is no life after death. There is no bodily resurrection. Your God, you tell us about Jesus, is not the real God. There have been scoffers over the centuries, scoffers who have said that this resurrection is impossible, therefore we will not accept it. And yet it is the truth of a faith. The people were willing to die for the truth rather than to renounce their faith in the living God, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Consequently, the promise, John says, and then the one who stood by the throne, he said to me and to all the crowd, this one is going to make it possible for all those gathered here at the throne, that they will not be struck down, they will not hunger anymore, they won't thirst anymore, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He'll guide them, he'll bring them to springs of water of life, and he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. That last phrase is a consoling phrase. It's repeated a few times in the book of Revelation, and it talks about the tears of this life, the sadness of grief, the loss of life of people we love, the consequence of our own sin and brokenness in this world are going to be remedied by Jesus Christ. And it's understanding that God has compassion on his people. We are not ignored by God by any stretch of the imagination. God will comfort his people. And that tender image of wiping away our tears of our sadness. Christ understands our condition. We turn to the gospel text from John, the 10th chapter. It's referred to, when you study the Gospel of John, as the Good Shepherd passage. It's one of the I am descriptions of Jesus. John, in his formation of the Gospel of John, creates 7 I am statements. Okay? This is one of them. I am the Good Shepherd. And in the course of that, he describes the gathering of his people. He is there. He's being challenged. You're not being clear. You're not telling us the truth. Who are you? Jesus says, look, you're not believing me anyways. Why should I just share who I was? Because you haven't heard me, and there's a reason for it. You have refused to believe in God's way. So consequently, as Jesus speaks, he says, my sheep know my voice. They understand me. They respond to my call by naming them. Any of you who have pets, you will swear your dog, your cat, whatever your pet is, responds to your voice, correct? You know what that's like. Now, I don't want to get into any controversy. About 3 weeks ago, they said, cats are smarter than dogs. And in the consequence, they said cats, now we know from research, can actually identify hearing their name, not just an intonation of your voice, happy or sad, but recognize the word of their name. Now, I do my own research with my ducks and chickens. And if I call my ducks, they come. If I call my chicks, they want to see what I'm bringing them. Somehow, if the animal kingdom and the world responds to a voice, How can God's people continually ignore him? And they do. You and I, even though we're believers, I'm sure we had periods in our life we turned away, we ignored it. But eventually, we come to terms with it. And we thank God for his patience, his understanding, his forgiveness for receiving us back as the prodigal son comes home. It's that understanding that God welcomes us at any time in our life. Sometimes I hear people say, recently it's a gal in the church, she's in her 70s, and she says, I always went to church, but now that I'm reading the scriptures, she says, I don't know why I wasted time and not read them. It was always there, but it wasn't her time. When it becomes our time, before you came in playing music before the service, beautiful hymn, contemporary, In His Time, if you know that song. God makes everything beautiful in His time. So Lord, open for me your way. Let me hear you. Speak to me now. This is where I am. This is real time. Lord, I need you and I want you in my life. It's that understanding that the sheep respond to the shepherd. They know where their food is, they know where their shelter is, they know where their drink is. And he welcomes them back into his flock. Nobody is beyond God's love and care unless we close the door. But God reaches and calls us back again, back again, back again. Thank God you do, Lord, because you receive us as we are, broken, failed people, always in need of your grace. You'll hear in the remaining hymns of the service much references to God as shepherd. To those who grieve, know that there's comfort. For those who feel self-smug that they don't need a shepherd, I can lead myself. Oh, woe to you. And understand that God brings us down to our knees so that we can look up and see Christ. May the God of grace, who shepherds us, loves us, and welcomes us, keep us in his truth and grace. Amen. Now comes the let's see if you remember. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And we sing our hymn of the day, The Lord's My Shepherd, Psalm 23. The early church, after having experienced the risen Lord Jesus Christ, had much more learning to do. And then they put together it in the form of a credo, a statement of faith, which is the first of the creeds we know as the Apostles' Creed. So if you'll please rise. We affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Service continues with prayers as God leads us.
Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Shine your light through this in every congregation. Reveal to us the light of your salvation in places of hopelessness and decay. Anoint us and make us overflow with goodness and mercy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give thanks for gentle rains that nourish green pastures and rejuvenate rivers and streams, provide clean waters for thirsty people, animals, and crops, heal places suffering destruction caused by floods, typhoons, storms, and mudslides. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Empower authorities to be faithful shepherds who lead the nation in pathways of righteousness and peace. Disrupt and deter the work of terrorists, religious and political extremists, and all who choose the way of violence over the way of mercy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Give us strength and perseverance to those facing struggles of hunger or thirst, unemployment or hopelessness, chronic illness or anxiety, especially Sharon Cunningham, Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jeff Parker's Uncle David, Marsha Wetzel's daughter, Michelle, Michael Quinn, Mike Henrich, Carla, Jennifer Hudson, and Jared Lucas, Martha Martell. Be with the families of Barb Donovan and Arnold Freely in their passing. Lord, be with those serving our nation, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, and Jaron Soulier, Robert Nolan, and Faye Wright, and those returning safely from their services at home and overseas, and those returning to our communities. Be our never-failing voice of comfort to those all in trials of this life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Raise up faithful women as witnesses to your strength and compassion. Bless mothers and all who are offered mothering care. Protect victims of sexism, abuse, and gender bias-based violence. Restore dignity to those marginalized because of their gender identity or sexual orientation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Salvation belongs to you, O God. You promise to wipe away every tear. Give us the assurance that all who live and die in you will rest forever beside the river of life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We commend these and all of our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And
if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. Kind of give you a verbal recall real quick of this past week. Tuesday night, we were proud to host the Blue Water Port Huron Musicale, Women's Musicale. They've been coming with us to sing here at Our Savior to the community, and they were, once again, in good form, some 30 singers. And thank Lori Parker for being our connective tissue. She's a singer with them and connected with us so we may have them here. And our team of wonderful people in the kitchen did it again. They did a wonderful refreshments afterwards and all enjoyed it. We had about 60 in the auditorium here in the sanctuary, 30 in the front, so virtually 100 together on Tuesday night. That was good. We also host, for those who know it, Narcotics Anonymous, and they were downstairs underneath us so they could be blessed by the music as well. And there is a group of, they usually gather with 50 to 60 of them here every Tuesday night with regularity, and that's Narcotics Anonymous. Then this last week, I got a call Friday from a friend of Martha Martell from San Diego, California. I hold my breath when I get those calls. Marty moved out of Port Huron, Fort Gratiot before winter, went back where she had lived 40 years in San Diego to get away from our weather so she might get healthier. Her friend called me and says, "Pastor, Martha wanted me to call you. She is in intensive care in a hospital here in San Diego. She would like you to pray for her." I said, "Are you there now?" She said, "No, but I'm going back to the hospital." I said, "Then when you get there, call me and I'll pray with her over the phone. And if she's unconscious, I still will pray. If she's awake, she will hear me." By God's doing, she was taken off the breathing in the intensive care unit for, ventilation. Yes, she was on a ventilator and she woke up and she could talk to me. And I said, "That's a miracle. Your timing is perfect, God." So it came to pass. We talked for a little bit because, you know, she's got tubes and everything attached to her. She wasn't out of the clear. But she appreciated it, and I told her we'd include her in the prayers here. And she was so thankful for that. So that was a good day. Of course, I was preparing a funeral for yesterday, a memorial service. And that was okay. Along with all that, have been other things taking place for people, good and bad. But always we remember one another with love, compassion, and tenderness. Coming into the service this day, Ron, son of Beulah, and his wife Elizabeth are up here from Texas. And he was going to come up in June, but he heard that his brother's health was changing in Port Huron. And as they came, what day did you come in?
Tuesday,
so you were in a little time to see him. Yesterday, Beulah's son and his brother passed away. So they came, timing again is God's. And we're able to see his brother and be with him during that time of dying. So that took place yesterday. There's also information in the now, just want to kind of keep you aware of. The radio that some of you are listening to us on or podcast later on is sponsored by our wonderful anonymous donor who supplies our needs and keeps us on the air quite a bit of the time during the year. We graciously thank for that selfless gift. The flowers in the off on the altar by Jim Wendt. If you remember Jim, his wife died 1 year ago in May. He called us a couple months ago when Doug McLean's funeral was being planned. And he says, "I want to claim the flowers on Mother's Day in memory of my wife, Ruth." So the flowers this day are dedicated in Ruth's honor, Ruth Wendt. And we thank Jim for that gift of love. There's many other things in your now. I encourage you to read, respond to that. Last week at a temple talk, Tony spoke about our cookbook. On the back table, you'll see a sheet of what categories we wish to put in it. There are cards there. You just print or type what it is, the recipe that you're giving us. We encourage you to do that within 30 to 45 days so we know what we're missing in the cookbook. Okay? I found another one of our cookbooks, Tony. I can update it. It was in 2001, I think it was. We did another cookbook. I found it and I brought it in. It's right there. In fact, here was the cover of Our Savior on the front and on the back. So 2001, this was our last cookbook. I thought it was the 75th anniversary, which made it 25. Now it's only 18 years ago. We're going to update it this time for 2020. We need your recipes. There is an Altar Guild meeting next Sunday. So the Altar Guild meets between services 9:30 in the parlor next Sunday. Council meets Tuesday, 7 o'clock. In your mailboxes for council, I prepared the agenda and the pastor's report. They are sitting in your boxes. Please pick them up. Look it over before Tuesday, 7 o'clock, we meet. Many other things are taking place. Even when we're not gathered here, there is ministry being done by those who come through us and come in the name of Christ. And we thank God for that. It's a partnership. Our worship continues as we sing our gifts and bring it forth. Now the green blade rises. Please rise, Easter song.
As you broke bread with the disciples on the shore, meet us now in this meal. Nourish us to follow you, using your gifts to feed the hungry and tend to the weary, and all for love's sake.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. We sing the Lord's Prayer this day. The blessing of our living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen. As I promised, we sing another shepherding song. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Thank you.
You are the body of Christ, raised up for the world. Go in peace and share the good news. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. As you ladies leave, you will receive a chrysanthemum. A carnation it is this year. Carnation. Okay. Good to see you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.